Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I have a question for you. Because as I was experiencing the joy of you being gone for a week in New England on your summer vacation,
and still managing
to come into the studio late after being gone when you knew you had to run Rob's board. And then as I was getting, and by the way, I don't get meltdown mad. I just get minorly upset. But then again, you know that you've known it forever.
Mike, but I can't set the bar high. I can't set the bar high.
I don't get it. And then as I'm sitting there and Pony's telling me Oscar will be in momentarily at 9 o'clock.
You're the wrong person to tell me.
I looked over and I see your wife.
Yes.
Like walk by, which means your wife was here before you were here. Is that accurate?
I would say my wife wanted to leave the house early because around 8 o'clock I said, where are you going?
Bless her.
Where are you going? She goes, I need to get to the office early. And I said,
bless her. Something that's never come out of your mouth.
Are you going to tell me? Because I've been here watching the Today Show like a 50-year-old man. And she goes, oh, no, no. I have to get in super early. And I said, all right. See you later.
So what time did she arrive at the village?
Probably around 8:15, I imagine.
8:15?
Yeah. She had 8:15. To walk the dog.
That would have been, you know, it was just, it's nice to know that she's more punctual. Is she by nature?
She doesn't have the town I have. I mean, that's the hard part. You know, that's really the grind.
Is she by nature more punctual than you are?
No.
She's not?
No. I had to work on
not
that.
At all.
You think I'm late. I had to work on that. These women
really
have to get ready before they go out.
So it's just interesting. I mean, it's kind of interesting. You're both going
what
to the same donation.
Haley's Comet, yeah. Mike. This happens rarely.
Okay. All right. I just thought it was Pony, did you not find that fascinating that we had Shannon bopping all around and, you know, and Oscar meandered in at about 9:02?
It's fairly common. You know, I'm used to
this
it.
This guy.
It's
not a friend,
common.
A foe.
Well, welcome back. It's good to see you.
Good
how
to
you
be
been?
Back.
How is every
the most
little thing?
Restful, beautiful, wonderful vacation I had. Not at all. But I'm happy
really?
To have had
What's
the break.
Matter? What happened?
Look, I love kids and I love my family. And I was there for a baptism. Shout out to little Sebastian as I am a godfather once again. I have this Latin guilt built over me because I don't get to see my niece and nephew and my two nephews and now niece enough. I just don't. So when they're around, which they were this entire vacation,
right?
I wake up when they wake up. And my nephew wakes up at 6:30, 7 in the morning, every morning.
Okay. All right.
And while my brother said, stay at a hotel, do what you guys need to do, you know, partly in Boston, partly in Cape Cod, because I've got this guilt and I'm a masochist, Mike. Every time, didn't matter if I went to bed at midnight, 2 a.m., watching Hard Knocks, late night on HBO in the Cape. No, I would wake up like clockwork to greet my little nephew in his crib because I feel like this I only have like 4 or 5 times to do that before they get too big, right?
This is the brand new baby.
This is my brand new baby. Well,
how old is
he's
baby
three.
Sebastian?
He's almost 3 now.
This is Sebastian?
Yeah, Sebastian, yes.
Great name. Great name. Name of my next door neighbor up in Maine.
Oh,
I don't know if you knew
good
that.
Man.
Yeah.
Good man.
Sebastian,
I bet. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So When Tio Oscar, who's not used to having any responsibility before, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning, has to wake up at 6:30 in the morning and be, by the way, kids, they're awake when they wake up at 6:30. Like, they're
right.
Up. They're good to go. There's no like, let me stretch out. Let me like ramp up to the day. No, it is go time.
Later on in the show, I'll tell you what time I get up now.
Yes.
And I've seen the rest of my life.
Oh.
Not that it's making me
brutal,
depressed.
Brutal.
Ooh.
I don't know how
but
you
anyway.
Know, Mike. I'm 41, I was just essentially a built-in mammy for the majority of my vacation, and I was wiped by 2.
Well, last week was the excitement of early going back to school. This week, I will settle with you with the discussion of the idea of settling on what it really is. But that's not me. I want to talk about you. So you're getting up at what time to go see the baby?
No, I'm staying in the baby's home because I'm staying in my brother's house at the beach.
Okay. Right.
And so I wake up at, honestly, when the baby wakes up, because I hear, estoy aquí, which means I'm here, and the little voice just screaming, being like, hey, I'm in the dark and I'm here. Man,
is estoy aquí the voice of your sister or your sister-in-law, or is it the voice of the baby going crying? So he's crying.
And he's saying in Spanish, estoy aquí, because he speaks Spanish. Of course,
how old is the baby?
He's almost three.
Oh, okay. So he's not that. So he can speak.
Yeah, estoy aquí. Yeah.
And Spanish English. Is the first language.
Spanish English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They got a nanny who speaks Spanish all day.
Estoy aquí. Estoy aquí.
And he's the cutest kid ever. You just want to, the cute side of kids. Like,
right.
Super nice. So I get in there and he's like, Dios, God. And you feel like $1 million. You feel, it doesn't matter if you've slept an hour or two or maybe three, maybe hungover, who knows? And you walk in, you're like, oh, what's up, little guy? And you're like, let's take a nap. As I lay in the, and they have a bed inside his bedroom as well as
right.
a bunk. I lay in the bed and I'm like, let's go back to bed. Me. And he's like, Dios, God, wake up. And I'm
yeah,
like,
he's
oh.
up.
No, he's up. I thought
what
they
time is this? Is about 6:30?
Yeah, I thought they ramp up, Mike.
That's,
I thought
that's
they ramp
terrific.
Up. Like, they need the sun to feed them energy.
No,
and then
no,
they start
up.
Moving.
No, 6:30 is about, first of all, at that age, 5:30 would not be unusual. And I know kids that have gone through 7 or 8 years where there's 7, 8-year-olds that are getting up at 5:30. And that's happening all the time. We're now at with our little guy waking him up at 6 to go. That's we're up at 5:30 in the O'Mara household. 5:30 every
what
morning.
What time do you go to bed?
5:30. I went to bed last night at about somewhere between 10:15 and 10:30.
My brother and
Mrs. O'Mara went to bed at 9:30.
My brother and sister-in-law, Steady Eddie, going to bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock. Now I know why.
10 o'clock.
Now
it's
I know
that,
why.
It's the rest of my life. I will not be a night out.
Vacation time, USA, hanging out.
Right.
I'm like, the bottle of Jack Daniels is going to drink itself. Everyone's in bed. I'm just going to drink. I watch the cable for free and lay on their couch and drink drinks. And then I'm like, go to bed at 2 a.m., no big deal. And then you hear, estoy aquí. Estoy aquí. I'm like, oh my God, somebody get a nanny, please.
So did the brother and sister-in-law expect
I deserve that.
Expect you. Thank you, running
thank
the board.
You, thank you.
Did they expect you to get up with the baby?
No. I actually had a talking to midweek. My brother said, hey man, we got a baby monitor. Like, we switch off days, like mommy daddy day, if you want to call it that. And
like, it was bothering them that
no,
you were
he
up
said,
with them?
You don't have to do this. You don't.
Oh, but you, but you were never, doing this out of generosity,
yes.
saying, I will tend to the child
yes.
and let the brother and sister-in-law
sleep in yes.
because they're such hardworking doctors
yes.
When they're, which is a great thing to do. That's wonderful.
It's built into my DNA, Mike.
Did your lovely lady ever wake up with you and play with Sebastian?
The key word is maternal. And she does not have that chip, because as I took a long ride with my brother, he was like, tell me how happy he is in his marriage. And I was
good.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I'm pumped. The baby's
go,
awesome.
Jose. Good Life job, good. Buddy. That's wonderful.
And then I looked at him and I was like, I'm happy too. But I would have been a little happy. This is on a Friday. We've been there all week, this past Friday. I said, I would love it if Shannon just kind of saw me get up and she'd want to get up with me and say, hey, I wonder what it's like to be a mom. And she's like, yeah, well, did you ask her? I said, no, but I figured by the fifth day that I'm waking up at 6:30 in the morning, and I look wrecked by noon, that she'd be like, hey, do you want me to like try to wake up and, be a mommy and pretend like we're, because I really, for me.
Does she stay up with you when you were doing your nocturnal stuff?
She goes to bed at 10 and wakes
10
up
o'clock.
At noon.
No, she doesn't
okay,
wake 10, up at
10
noon.
To 10. 10 to 10, probably.
10 a.m. 10 p.m. to 10 a.m.?
10 to 10.
Oh, that's so blissful.
Yeah.
That's great.
Old
that's
daddy
a woman
daycare or, over here. D.O. daycare.
That's fantastic she does that.
She
but
looks,
never
she
any assistance.
Happy and rested. Life is good.
She enjoyed the vacation with you.
She changed a couple diapers here. During the day, she's there. I think maternal does not happen before 10 a.m. for my wife yet. Not yet. Not yet.
We got a long week together, pal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you there are many questions. In fact, I want to do a whole segment on that, on the maternal factor. Sounds to me like you are ready.
No, I'm
you
not
are
ready.
Ready.
Actually, I failed. This was a trial test, and I failed miserably. And you know what happened at the end of the week? God bless my sister-in-law and my brother. They, rich people have nice clothes for their kids.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's a real tell.
Right?
It's a real tell.
Like, oh,
I mean,
man,
you can fake it. You can fake it with cheap clothing,
yes.
as I've done with my son.
Yes.
Not cheap, But it's Carla baby. Sail. She baby. Sail hunts baby. Like nobody sail hunts. Baby. But then you see the kids that are dressed like designers.
Yeah,
and it's so, a, you know, it's something to.
We'd
to
all
behold.
Look great. People would dress us all the time in designer clothing. You know,
right.
I would love a Everybody personal would shopper. Look good. That'd be
Absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely.
So my brother says to me, he's like, "Hey man, like you're doing really great with Sebastian. We have all his nice clothes, like really like." Little jeans, a little vineyard vines, a little shirts for like all these, everything put together.
Yeah, there's the New England yuppie logo right there. Vineyard vines. Vineyard vines. I always see the guys on the golf course wearing vineyard vines. Yeah. Hey, nice 23-inch waist. Congratulations, vineyard vines. Way to go. That's great. All cotton. Yeah, no synthetic materials for you that stretch, you effers. But anyway, go ahead.
So before we leave, I am loaded up with, I would say, four organized satchels. You know those clear bins that hold clothes that you can see everything in?
Yeah.
In the back of the Volvo, because we drove up to what would be Massachusetts and then...
Why do you have satchels? Is it dirty laundry?
No,
that you
not
have,
satchels. I guess organized. Clothing organizers that say 0 to 6 months, 6 to 12 months, 12 months to 1 year, 1 year okay. to, I guess, 3 now, right?
These are baby clothes that you're going to be donating? Is that what
now,
it is?
Given to us in case we have a baby in the next 2 years.
Oh, wow.
No
okay, well, that's good.
No
that's
pressure.
That's a good
Can't sign. Hide that in the trunk.
That's a good. How did Shannon feel about that?
She said, "What's that?" And I'm like, "Well, they gave us a bunch of nice baby clothes." She goes, "Why?"
Okay, you two
Just
kids.
Saying. Just You're saying, we gotta take it down.
Kids.
Doesn't matter if we give it away at a Goodwill. We gotta take it down and smile. That's what we're gonna do.
So every morning during the vacation, you're up with the little
am,
one.
But and I have to say, look, it's funny to joke about it. It's not funny to say how wonderful it is to see that. I guess what would be reception when you see this
yeah.
little face and he's
welcome
like,
to the world.
He's
yeah,
like,
man.
Like,
there you go. You get
to see
it.
You know.
You get it. It's the greatest face yeah. in the world. It's the greatest face. My daughter Catherine had it. My daughter Elizabeth had it. My son Michael has it. That first of the morning face. I still love it when I see it from my 24-year-old who now has, you know, has her headshots and is out there with
it's
representation.
Yes.
Who's going to be in a movie. I
yes.
mean, it's been, who knows? Onward and upward. I still love to see their smile. And I love, you know, another thing? I love to watch them eat. I love to watch my kids eat. I love to watch
the kids
eat.
That's where we part ways, Mike. The food thing with you, I don't know what's going on.
No, it's not. I love to see my kids eat. I enjoy
it. He loves to consume.
It's fantastic. No, and I. But it sounds to me like you have the chip that this is what you always like. You're, who's your other nephew?
Luca and Sophia were there too. They rocked.
Okay, so and Sebastian is the only
he's the littlest.
Is the firstborn and only so
of,
far
Jose's, yes.
for Jose and his wife
yes
and Lauren
yeah
that's wonderful is Lauren Hispanic as
no,
well
no
Lauren is a
Lauren
gringa?
Is Italian yes Italian American
okay, I didn't know that okay yeah. I didn't know that I don't think I've ever even seen Lauren I don't think she's a doctor
you
too
did.
Right?
You met her at TMS Live in. At the in Falls Church at the State Theater.
All right. Okay.
Yes,
very good. Very good.
Years ago, I will tell. There's some highlights I'd like to get to maybe a little later in the program, but I'll give you some teases. Maybe tomorrow. Who knows if we have time, Mike? I saw two first ladies this past break,
wow.
One president, and a New England Patriot had rented my brother's beach house. And we found out when we arrived to his beach house, because I guess he has it on Airbnb. Pretty
sure. So he had rented past tense?
Past tense.
Or he was
tense.
Going to rent?
Past
He'd
tense.
Been in the house.
A current
New England.
New England Patriot.
Oh, my God. Did you take a black light to the place and you know make
no.
sure there were no biological stains anywhere?
But I did my due diligence, because the reason we found out is because the neighbors came over who apparently don't rent their places out.
Right.
Hyannis. Nice place to live, worst place to rent, because everybody will hate you for it. we don't rent our homes. How do you pay for them?
Vineyard
Just
vines.
Nuts.
Hi, Muffy was coming by with her Vineyard Vines shift on, and she noticed that there was a New England Patriot in there, a football player. Could you at least have rented to an academic? My God, what's wrong with you? Yes, New England sensibility.
Bar none, the best vacation we've had with family-wise, because my sister and her whole family flew out from Los Angeles.
Can I ask
well.
You a Cape Cod question?
Yes.
Is it true that in these neighborhoods...
Oh, two Kennedys. Two Kennedys on the street. Two Kennedys. Look,
really?
Just like their, I guess, the grandfather at this point.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I have to ask you about the, is it true the architecture up there is very, very strictly regulated, where it's like white trim with cedar siding, unstained?
Oh, yes.
Cedar siding. And that, you know, yes. It's not like you're going to go there and see, you know, like a Gordon Gekko house or anything.
No.
They all have that kind of traditional look, and it's very, very strictly regulated.
Except
is that
for the
true?
Kennedy compound, which is just massive, as it's close to my brother's
home. Yeah, they've got the white clapboard houses.
Cartoon-sized. Yes.
And you saw that? You saw the Kennedy compound?
Oh, from I remember you taught me about deeded beach rights last year, last summer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
From their beach, you can see the compound. So
very
it's
cool.
Just, it's beautiful.
So you took
right?
a walk and walked up to take a look at it?
Well, you can probably. I did not walk too close. I learned a few things about decorum, Mike, this past break. Also, to answer your question, everything's regulated. Some poor guy around the corner wants to put up a garage. Like, just a regular garage for his car.
Right. Yeah.
There is a notice that goes out, much like it does in the city of a historic area, and when you have a historic preservation society.
I get it. Right.
That says, hey, this guy wants to put up a garage. We're going to have a hearing about it. A garage.
Yep.
Nothing crazy, you know.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Frankie, shut up! Sorry, they're putting a new roof next to me. They're putting a new roof on the house next to me. Hurricane roof. We haven't had ours. We haven't finished our legal battle yet.
Hey, hi. Hey, Irma screwed our house too. Just go ahead and put it on there. We'll pay you later.
Anyway, yeah, it's well, that's that. So that very cool.
Life is
good. You said two first ladies?
Two first ladies, one president, former president, or president, and I would say family members. It was an overwhelming weekend.
Can't wait to hear all about it. This is now you combined work and play, right?
Yes.
You went
Mike,
up there.
It's never just vacation.
Okay. All right. That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
I know you had a great experience.
I have share some details, but I would rather share them in the body of the show as I see my clock, Mike, which I don't have.
No, you don't have to worry about the time. I worry about the time. You're fine.
Okay.
You don't have to deal with the time. You don't. I'm totally relaxed to go as long. I'm fascinated with all of this.
Okay.
I'm fascinated with you and your name and your wife's name. I don't know when it came up, but it might have been as early as this past weekend where we were talking. Carla and I were talking about you and Shannon and whether you know, who knows, there might be a little one in the
baby.
Offing. It sounds
we got baby
like
clothes. My wife isn't into having a baby yet. I don't think
she's not.
Well, I mean, Mike, let's read the tea leaves. She doesn't wake up when the baby says "Estoy aquí, estoy aquí."
See that, but I don't think Carla would have awakened if it was a family member's kid.
I don't speak Spanish, Baxter.
First of all, the age range, you know, anybody waking up, the children waking up would be 35 years old and going to work. So that doesn't work on my side. But my point is, I don't think Carla would do the same thing. This is your connection. This is your comfort zone with you going into your nephew's room. Whereas Shannon, you know, it's nice. She'll play with the baby, but it's not like it's got to be that blood relative connection for you to get up. That's an intimate time of day. That is an intimate. In fact, it is the most the most sweet and intimate time that I think parents have with their children. Is that first thing in the morning where their little eyes are opening up. And a lot of times I'll be up before Michael. I'll be sitting in my recliner and he'll come around the corner. And, you know, there's no conversation. He just comes up, crawls into my arms, and we hang out together. It's got to be a little closer. It's got to be a little bit more of that connect. That's my theory, you know. She
what
might
about
just
the
like
baby
to sleep
clothes
till
in the
10.
Back? What about the baby clothes in the back?
The baby clothes in the back, the reaction might have been, oh, that's so nice. That's so sweet. That's not the reaction you got?
No, I got, what's that? What do we need those for? And I love my wife. But I was expecting maybe like, isn't that nice?
You know, I'm starting the week off really well with you because I really want to bring her in. I really want to bring her in and get her thoughts on it. But I will honor your
yeah,
wishes.
Yeah, she's busy working, Mike. She got here early to work.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't give her that.
I totally understand. I understand 100%.
What about?
I get it. She's busy.
What about this move?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if your wife at any point said to you, maybe you should shave your head.
That was something that came from the vacation. Lean forward a little bit. Lean forward. Let me look. Oh, dear. Yeah. Yeah. I see where the headphones go. That's I'm seeing a lot of white skin there. I'm seeing a lot of skin there. She's suggesting you shave the head. Is that what it is?
This vacation was full of truths. And they weren't held back.
Yeah.
As my niece said to me, she goes, "Oh no, you have hair, tío Oscar. You just have a lot more forehead than you used to."
I didn't know that you were missing a little bit on top.
Only a 9-year-old would tell you that, and you can't be mad.
So, can I ask you this question about your hairline?
Yes. It's painful.
You can make your comments about fat all day long. Yeah. Sitting here. It looks like the bulk of the hair. The hair is like the forehead goes up high. Then there's significant hair.
I don't need.
What about the middle? What about the middle of the top of the head?
Well, the top is
it thinning?
The top is fighting. The top is fight. The good fight.
Oh yeah, it is. Oh dear. Uh oh.
Losing battle.
Is Jose older?
Yes.
All right. Is Jose losing his hair?
No, he actually chose the right path in life, something that has a an actual proven track record.
A little Rogaine action?
Huh? No. He just picked a profession that has a trajectory that it's clear.
It has nothing to do with hair, Oscar, whether he's making money or not.
Stress.
It has
I have more gray hairs than my brother does. More. Okay. He looks young. All he's doing—he's putting himself to sleep. I bet.
Yes.
All he as an anesthesiologist, best rest ever.
All right, get ready to press the button. Okay, welcome back, you mallet head.
Are you sick and tired of the same old dating scene? Dan O'Brien here to tell you we have the innovative app to help you find your true love. We call it TMOS Harmony, and we'll guarantee you'll find love with it. Pony matched with his sugar glider, Mac matched with himself, I matched with my tight shirt, and you can match with the TMOS bonus package. Who wants to swipe or click their way into love when all you have to do is listen to the TMOS bonus show? The TMOS bonus package. If it can help us pathetic interns find love, you'll be certain to find something you just can't ignore. This will be
www.mikeomerashow.com. The best of O'Mara.
Oscar Santana was on a vacation, but there is an element of this vacation that even I do not know about, because you have been working with some pretty rarefied air when it comes to Podcast Village. Just for the purpose of background, we talk about Podcast Village all the time, but I never give you a chance to really explain, outside of taping this show, what goes on there. There are people from everywhere that come to Washington, D.C. and do this out of our studios, our facilities in Washington, right?
We are, I would say, blessed to be in the position that collectively, spawning out of the Mike O'Mara show and connecting with Charlie Burney through the Smith School of Business when I went back to business school and launching Podcast Village, that we have some pretty high-profile clients. And, by design, when we first started, as we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary, Mike, mm-hmm. which would probably be, at the end of this year, we don't always talk about all of our clients. Some people we have to ask permission if we're going to discuss them here on the show. And it's really out of respect to the client relationship that we have. Now, I've been cleared to discuss certain aspects of the show because it's part of my trip, because it's part of our life. And that's what we do here on the program.
Yeah, this is exciting.
We are blessed and we are happy. We're excited to work on the George Herbert Walker Bush Presidential Library podcast, 41. It's through the George and Barbara Bush Foundation. And one of the elements of this broadcast is to set up remote broadcast points around the country. One of them happened to be coincided with my trip this past weekend to the Northeast, where I was, it's an honor, that's the way I look at it, to be able to actually visit and work at the compound, which is known as Walker's Point or Kennebunkport.
Yeah, you have been, for people that might not be keeping track, you have been down to library in Texas for 41, the father of W, 43. Mm-hmm. And this trip, you had told me, and I was kind of jealous, to be honest with you, that you were going to be going up to Kennebunkport. And I just thought, everybody remembers the pictures of
HW. The Summer White House.
The Summer White House up there and the boat and everything. And when you told me that fact that you had been up there, I was very excited for you. But what I didn't expect was some of the stuff that that you got a chance to do. Just to be around this, it's a different world, isn't it?
It's a different world. It's also one of these moments Mike, and I'm sure you've had them in radio where you try to remember, you're like, just try to enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Just enjoy this moment. It's about rarefied air. It's about an honor. It's about making sure you do the job you say you're going to do. And, right. and this piece of, I guess, a quick anecdote, we arrived to Boston. My wife and I drive up on Friday, say hi to our family, arrive around 10 p.m., 11 p.m., have to go to bed early, wake up the
next... You're talking about arriving 10 p.m., 11 p.m. in Boston.
In Boston, see my family. Right. My brother's 50th birthday party is Saturday night. My brother-in-law, I'm sorry. He's turning 50. It's a big deal to him. It should be. And it's Mike, it's much like you want your 60th to... You wanted a celebration. You wanted a big presents. You wanted something special. He wants something
loved
for his
50th.
Yeah, would have loved
it. And my gift is my daughters. My both daughters
surprised
me.
Yeah, but something material. Something you want, like an HDTV.
Still haven't got it. Yeah, I'm going down to get fit for new golf clubs. Thank you, Dad. No car, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it this week.
We didn't want to disappoint Mike. I remembered. I said my brother-in-law is in town in Boston from Los Angeles with our entire family, and my nephew's baptism is Sunday. So Saturday I got a party for his 50th birthday in Boston at a restaurant, and Sunday I have a baptism early morning. What is my window of time to go to Walker's Point? It's Saturday morning of last week.
Yeah, you are give or take 2 hours away.
Bingo. 1:30, 1:40, it says on Waze. You know, Waze always lies to you. So I say, I don't want to pull a Michael Mara show and be late.
This time. Not for somebody you really care
not
about.
This time. Not
the late
this
president,
time.
George H.W. Bush, for God's sake.
And his family. I get a hot text in the morning at 6:30 in the morning from a family member that says, "Are you?" My initial appointment time was 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they said, can you move it to 11 a.m.? And we have room for two. We would like to take you and your wife out on the boat. And we would like you to come to lunch with us after we do the work. So that in itself was unexpected. 6:30 a.m.
What did you expect the total time frame would be up there when you got up there? A couple hours, like install some stuff.
Set it all up, test it with the team, and move on. And I'm a solo. I met my team, my wife and I, right?
All right.
Now, there is a paradigm here where the Latin family steps in. And the entire time I said, hey, be gone for a 3-hour trip, 4 hours tops. I'll be back for this dinner.
I will
be back for it. Yeah, it's at night. I'm fine with at night, right?
All right, very good.
But it's also this like pack mentality. When the Santanas get together, / Ceballos, / Christostomos, whatever that Greek
that's
last
name
is.
That's the priority.
Yes. That's the so I feel that pang of guilt. Doesn't matter if I'm working, I'm still the youngest. And
you're
working
at a president's house.
And I'm making it all about me, the youngest, making it all about him after a 50th birthday party is happening and a baptism. I'm the godfather. And I say to my sister, I was like, hey, I got this hot text. This is 7 a.m. now because I'm up, right? You're up. Everybody's up. Everybody's responsible.
They got to like you. If you're being asked to go out on the boat, they got to dig you.
I think I'm pretty affable, Micah. I'm a good guy.
They
got to
dig
you.
They got to dig you.
Which is super. It's kind of surreal. It's the best way I can put it.
Pretty cool.
And I say, hey, Tatiana, I don't want to. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to have to meet you probably at the restaurant because I don't know how long this is going to take and I don't want to say no. But I know you guys are prepping for this party. I just talked to Shannon, because she's a good wife and knows my family. She says, look, why don't you go alone? I will stay and help with the party planning because I said I would beforehand. I wasn't invited. I didn't know I was going to go the first time around.
She is a trooper
for
doing that.
She was invited. She was specifically invited. Shannon,
that's cool.
We have room for two. We'd love to have to host Shannon and you on the boat to come on out.
Very cool.
So my wife steps up and I said, all right, well, I promise I'll make this as respectful to the family, both families. Got a family here, got a family there, right? A Podcast Village family, got responsibilities, got a family for the Santanas.
I'm Reasley. I hate to interrupt you with this. I just have to say one thing. You can't hear it over my microphone here. I'm reasonably sure that the building next door might have just collapsed. I just heard about a rather
a roof went
I
down.
I don't know what they're doing over there, but unless there's some San Andreas fault thing here. All right, go ahead. So your wife decides to hang back with your family, and you're off to Kennebunkport.
I'm off to Kennebunkport.
Very cool.
Which is And I've never been to that part of Maine. I've been to Bar Harbor, which I think is glorious and beautiful.
Right.
And I thought it couldn't get any better. Have you ever been to Kennebunkport, Mike?
I've driven through Kennebunkport. I find it too crowded in the middle of the summer. Now, where you go is not crowded because it's special.
There's a gate.
But like the town of Kennebunk and all that, it gets pretty crazy down. It's very popular. It's closer to Boston.
I've never even seen it in magazines.
Not to insult anybody you work with, but I'm going to tell you what we refer to that area of Maine as a suburb of Boston. I'm sorry, but that's what we call
it. I could see that. It's close.
You know that I'm 2 hours, I'm almost 3 hours further north. Where I live up in Maine. So, but I get it. It's still Maine. It's still the coast of Maine.
When we drove up to Bangor, we didn't drive to Kennebunkport.
No.
Okay.
No, you flew to Bangor.
Yes.
And then got off a plane, bought some fireworks, and came straight
down. Boom, bam.
I would describe that as not a very pretty part of the state. And then when you get down to the coastline, you know, it's very beautiful homes. Gorgeous part, rarefied air, as we said before, third time we've said it now. It's special, and it's, you know, it's just a little hop, skip, and a jump from Boston, which makes it cool too. Right?
So I'm racing to a job, and while you can't necessarily enjoy, you want to make sure you brought all the equipment, everything set, I'm packed in the Volvo. Mm-hmm. When you turn onto that coastal road, that's when you're like, whoa. This is something out of Central Casting. What movies have been filmed here? The only, that type of, I guess, beauty, natural beauty, I've seen at Acadia National Park. I've seen out west when you're in Malibu, of course. People are going to be like, oh, of course, Malibu is beautiful. No, it's beautiful. Yep. Beautiful. Of course. You've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, very, very special part of the world. Absolutely.
And you drive up to Walker's Point, and there is a gate with Secret Service. And I am in the Volvo, and I will not go through the security protocol as respect to the family. Yes. Get through that. And then you park. And once you're in, you're like, oh, my God, I'm here.
Yeah.
It is surreal. The grass is like something out of Disney World. Everything is perfect. And
world leaders, Oscar, there are icons of show business, just hundreds of players have walked those grounds, including presidents of the United States and a president who lives there in the summer White House, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Jeb Bush and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and people that have been up there. I mean, it's pretty special stuff. It really, really is.
And you want to be a professional. So I'm not taking pictures. I'm not doing any of that. I'm being as professional as possible.
I just picture you wide-eyed, just like with your serious look on your face. Oh, hello, but never getting over the fact that you know where you are. You appreciate stuff.
Oh,
and you love Maine,
this
by the way.
Huge.
I knew you love Maine more than anybody else on our crew, so I get it. I understand.
I love Maine. Right. I parked the car. I didn't want to be presumptuous, so I didn't drive to the home I would be working in. There is a road that takes you there, but I parked where I would imagine the service and the Secret Service park. And I get out of the car, and I hear a name being called as I'm unpacking the gear.
Oscar! Oscar!
No. I'm being called a different name, and I won't share the name. And then I look up, and he goes, oh!
Manuel!
No! This is how great this family is. It's Neil Bush.
Okay,
I know him. And he says, Oscar.
I know him on TV.
Oscar. You're coming on the boat today. I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody like there wasn't even another Latin name. It was just another name of somebody else that was there.
He goes, Francisco.
It really wasn't even a Latin name.
I'm kidding.
Idea that he recognized me from College Station where we initially met months ago.
Right.
And then said, we'll see you on the boat in about 15 minutes. Was like, how does somebody have that? One-on-one?
Well, the political, just if I can enlighten
you,
the political game. And I have family members that have been in that game. And in fact, I brought this up about names. And one of the things that a lot of these guys, you'll find congressmen, senators, and people that work for them, have this amazing ability. That's part of the deal. The best way of describing it would be in the movie Devil Wears Prada, when Miranda Priestly is going to the gala, and she actually has two books that her people have to study so she will be able to address everybody by
names.
Most people, they have that natural ability to remember, especially if you're doing something that's important to them. They retain that. And it's kind of cool. That's why a lot of them are good at it, even family members of HW.
Yeah, which was very impressive. And I said, yeah, thank you for the invite. I know that there's a kind of delay for this installation. We'll work that out. I'm just looking for so-and-so's home.
You were installing insulation in their house?
No, I
would have thought they would have perfectly heating and air conditioning.
I know there's a delay for the installation.
Oh, installation.
Yes.
Insulation.
No.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's take a break here.
Do you like the Mike O'Mara bonus show? I've been a big fan of the regular show ever since it was on Terrestrial. But I think the bonus show is the group's undisputed masterpiece. It's an epic meditation on intangibility. At the same time, it deepens and enriches the meaning of the regular show. Listen to the brilliant ensemble playing of O'Mara, Spiewak, and Santana. The show is extremely uplifting. It's as positive and affirmative as anything I've heard in a podcast. The TMOS Bonus Show. Don't just stare at it, buy it.
The best of O'Mara.
We're talking with Oscar about his summer vacation, which really was not entirely a vacation because you are very involved in the with the Bush family in this wonderful podcast venture that they have begun, and it requires you to travel around the United States, getting them set up so that these podcasts can be done wherever. Like I do mine on the road, and you know your way around that. So this is exciting. You get on the campus of Walker Point, where basically named after George Herbert Walker. It's very cool, and you're there, and they mentioned to you that you're going to go out on is it the boat, by the way? Is it the boat that we saw on TV,
it's
speedboat?
41's boat. It's the Fidelity. Yes.
Oh my God.
Now,
how special that must be for that family. I feel for him a little bit.
I mean, and really, if you think about it, this is still fresh. We're talking about just a few months.
Yeah,
right?
and the funeral, and just what an incredible moment it was, especially in the times we live in right now. And I remember we all watched it. Who didn't watch that? I mean, an amazing legacy, really.
So for me, it's more about respect, and I think everybody's been in this position before. You just don't want to mess anything up. You just want to get in clean and get out clean and make sure that you do the job you're there for.
Right.
So I meet my contact, and we start discussing, hey, do you want to set this up right now, or do you want to take some time and then come back later? Like, I'm at your disposal. I'm not going to mention, hey, I got to get back for this 50th anniversary party or 50th birthday.
You can't.
No.
You can't, because, I mean, you're still, you know, new to these folks, and you know, this is an opportunity. I get it. I know how the drill works.
So I get there, and I'm like, okay. I didn't know we were going to go out on this beautiful speedboat. I thought it was just going to be, because I'm a rube, and I don't expect much. So I was like, oh, we're going to go on a little cruise.
Do you think you were going to go out on a dinghy when they called you at 6:30 in the morning and said you're going on a boat ride? Do you think you were going, on a paddle boat? What the hell?
I didn't know what type of boat it was going to be, and I really thought, well, maybe we'll have sandwiches on the water. I don't know how this works, right?
Yeah.
And
did you think big? Did you think it might be something like this? Didn't you? I would have made, because I've watched this, being a Mainer part of the year, I have watched this for years. I've watched him out on that speedboat that is very cool. Because first of all, that's not the typical boat you see around those waters.
No,
and that's
don't.
What I like. That's what I liked about him, that he kind of danced to his own drummer. He liked speed. He was an air, he was an airman. He actually knew, he loved speed, and that was his way to get out on the boat and do that. So when I've seen that, I always thought, man, what a cool thing it would be to be on that boat.
His doc that you can find on HBO, it's 41. He talks about the boat and how in his later years, when maybe his health was failing him, the way that he could really, get out there and do what he wanted was on that boat. It would let him maneuver the way he wanted through life on that boat, which is beautiful.
A short sidebar, and I wasn't there, shocker, making my way, wasn't up there when my cousins took my dad out for his last time on the water. and he was on oxygen, and it would be his last summer up there, up in Maine, and they put him on the boat. It's where he was truly happy. There's something about being on that water that is so special to so many people. And, you know, he came back in, and his legs were gone. And so it was really hard for him to walk because the medication that helped him breathe, my dad, helped him, you know, it took away the muscle tone from his legs. So one of my cousin's girlfriends was on the dock and helped him out of the water, helped him out of the boat. And then later that night, they had him in tears because they were talking about who was Uncle Bill making out with on the dock, because they saw this young girl, this young hot chick with her arms around him. And it was one of those great, great moments they gave him. I'll always love my cousins for doing that for him. But being on the water, that's the special part. And to be on that, I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was when I heard you were going to do this.
So for context, when someone says we have room for two on a boat, you're like, oh, this is a small boat, large boat. I don't know how you do head counts on a boat. I don't know enough about it. I know that you probably say, okay, we have four or five people. We're safe with six. I don't know. I'm thinking again.
It's not a lot on a boat like
that. Yeah, so I don't
not
know.
Not even close.
I don't know.
I'm thinking, what, 10 people maybe? 10, 11 people tops, 12, maybe less?
12, I think. 12? 12, yes.
Yeah. That's a lot of people on a boat
so,
like that. Very cool.
I arrived to the home. They say, oh, you should have just driven up. And mind you, there's a lot of, you know, security, so I was fine where I parked. It was good. Right. I walked up, and walking up that, I would say that road with the Atlantic Ocean to the left of you is gorgeous.
Yeah,
you just look around. You're like, don't look around too much.
Never
just
been there.
Get to the house.
I can imagine.
I can't believe this is what I'm here and we're doing. This is great. Get to the house. Say, okay, this is perfect. They say, let's get you a jacket because it'll make it cold on the water. They get me a jacket. It's a presidential library jacket. I'm like, this is great. And then I have it in my hand. We walk down.
You get to keep it?
No. Didn't ask to keep it. Didn't ask to keep it.
We're fine. I'm a DJ, man. Can I keep this?
Can I have this Planet Hollywood jacket, please?
Hey, Clark, can I keep this, please? Can I keep this, please? They got it all together, though. They want a jacket. We got a special jacket. They got a little library of jackets back there. It's very cool.
So,
I'm living vicariously through your reader.
Beautiful cottage or bungalow, as they call them, on cottages, depending on who you talk to. And I think it's also wonderful. And it reminds me of your family, Mike, in Maine, where everybody has their own little home and there's a Maine home.
Yeah.
I knew that there was multiple cottages on the property. I just didn't know how many and how beautiful it was going to be. So
very similar, minus the money and togetherness. Separate those two things and you'd be all set.
The radius of space, though, is probably correct. Where it's close.
Yeah. Very, very, very close. Yeah. You know, it's special. Okay. All right.
We walk down to the dock, which is a private dock, and there is this beautiful speedboat. And I don't know enough about boats, but I recognized the boat from the documentary. And I said, wow, this is an honor, another honor. Yeah. And the family's amassing there. We've got every brother and sister and some nephews and cousins that are going across because we're
anybody
gonna,
immediately jump to your, you know, oh my God, I know that person. Is there?
Oh yeah, recognized all of them.
Okay, all right.
It was truly just like, hey, don't fall off this dock. Don't fall off this dock. The boat pulls up. One of the family members, he throws me the rope. Like, hey, you're on the side of the dock. Catch this rope for the boat. I, of course, miss the rope. Because I was not expecting that.
I can see your
wide eyes. I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, you just threw me the rope. And these butterfingers let them slide right through into the water. But let me pick that up, pretend like that didn't just happen.
Hey, it happens all the time. Ropes get wet, no problem. You're cool.
Yes.
No
so I play that off as best I could. I know inside I was dying. And I start, you're like, tie it up. And luckily, Mr. Michael O'Mara taught me how to tie up a boat when I was in
Maine.
Do
you have a cleat there? Is there a cleat?
There is a cleat. A cleat.
All right.
You taught me how to do that.
Okay,
so I start pretending that I remember how Michael O'Mara taught me how to tie up a boat because I've got
it's
the front of the boat.
It's funny that you're the guy they're doing. Are you doing this because you're like one of the few men there? Or, I mean, not to be sexist,
I think it
but
was
are they doing this to test you?
It's where I was on? Where I was standing.
Okay.
It's just position. I took the
pole
position. No, I was at the boat came in. I was at the I was at the back of the dock where it happened
the
to be
stern.
The stern.
Okay.
Where it happened to be my. There were two tie ups for the boat.
Okay.
All right. So that, so I start tying up the younger gentleman who's about to go to college, who threw me the rope, says, you got
was
that?
Was he piloting the boat? Was he at the helm? Was he at the controls, or was he?
He was at the controls, yes.
Just him on the boat? Was he just
no,
solo?
No, it was him and another family member. And
okay, all right.
He goes, you got that? And I'm like, I got it.
I don't know why this detail is so important to me, but it's just, I'm picturing the whole thing.
I start putting it all together.
Are they younger? Are these younger people in the family? Or
No, these are siblings. Siblings to Neil Bush.
It's Tito.
No,
it's Tito Bush.
No. It's Neil, Marvin, Doro. Like it
you
is.
You got the whole fam.
And
you're part of the family.
And your boy.
Oh.
And I Jeb's younger son. It's we're there.
Very
right?
cool. Very, very cool.
I start tying up, and he goes, "You got so the questioning my tying of." You know, it's up and down. Like
are they
the
laughing a little bit?
No. It's just funny. I was like, I'm going to be honest with you, man. Did this once in my life before. I might have total recall, but you might want to double check.
Okay, that's the right answer.
And, right. And he jumps off. He goes, that's pretty good, actually. Let me just tighten it up. Done. Get on the boat. I think one of the family, I remember one of the family members saying, hey, do you want to come back here? Because it's going to be a pretty bumpy ride. I was like, "How?" He actually says, "How is your back?" Because if you're good with it, like it's fun.
Is it blowing a little bit out there?
And yeah,
is it blowing a little bit?
It's blowing a little bit. But also, I wasn't aware where we were going and the rate of speed we were going to go at.
Okay, you're going out to eat, right?
Yeah, we're going to another town to eat.
It's what we do up there. It's fun. It's
on
fun.
The
you
water.
Take a boat. Yes, very
I call
cool.
Uber Eats. This is not a life I know.
It's fun.
Be on nice a speedboat with one of the most powerful families in the world. Ooh. Barely tie up a boat. So I wanted to feel the power of the boat. I said, thank you. I'll be right here. I'll hold on if it gets too
where
bumpy.
Are you standing? Are you in the middle? Are you up by the helm? Like where the controls are? Or are you in the bow?
I'm already in the is the bow is the front of the boat?
The bow is the front. Okay. The stern is the
I'm halfway from the bow to the stern, but sitting on a bench on the front of the boat.
I get it. Okay, right? I know where you are.
So if you're a boater or whatever you are, a yachter, I don't know what you call
it. Yeah, no, you're a boater. So you want to be up in the front and get the feeling for it.
I want to feel the wind, and I want to feel the bumps of the sea. I remember doing this as a younger kid, not on a boat like this, clearly, on a Zodiac.
Right.
It was fun.
Right.
So he says, okay. He goes, just you're welcome. If it gets too bumpy, to come on back. Now, in the front are two like nieces and nephews or grandchildren with their mom. So they're sitting there as well because it's fun to bump up and down. And,
right.
You know, the rest of the family is smart and they sit in the back. Right. They stand in the back because that's going to be the smoothest ride. The boat takes off. And I'm saying, like, because they have open waters and you've got a captain who knows what he's doing. He like floors it. And we are skimming across the Atlantic. Going to another point in Maine, which I thought was one of the most glorious moments of my life.
Yeah.
Just
there you go.
Surreal.
I'd give anything to trade places with
so
you.
So surreal.
Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
And like, Doral, he goes, you like lobster? Lobster rolls? Lobster rolls good?
No, I hate them. Oh, they're poisonous to me. I'm allergic. No,
I love
thank you.
Them. I'm a pescatarian. Anything from the sea. Whatever what you want, I'll do.
What do you figure he's doing? 40 knots, 50 knots, something like that? You
know, I think 50 knots, easy.
Yeah,
easy.
Just flying.
He was flying and he was commanding that boat. Like, you know, when someone's doing, they've done this before.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're
doing.
It's
the best thing in the world. It's a great feeling. Fantastic.
We arrive at this cove, which looks that I didn't even know existed. I don't even know the town. If I had the name, that'd be fantastic.
Right.
But it is this little opening. But when you're driving towards it, it's like, I'm going to sound like a Rube, you think we're going
you're
towards these
go
rocks.
Ground.
You're going towards these rocks. You're going towards these rocks. And no, not at all.
Knows.
They know what they're doing.
Sure.
And
they've done it a million times.
You pull
before.
Into this cove, and I've seen footage online from this little town. It's picturesque. I'm sure it's famous, and I'm just not giving you the name because I'm a Rube. And we pull in, and you can tell right away that people recognize this boat.
Oh,
and they
of
recognize
course.
The family.
Of course. Yeah, I know. And it's you.
And me.
It's you on the boat.
Hey.
This is so cool.
Is
right,
that the podfather?
We got to take another break.
Okay,
can you wrap this up when we come back?
I can. Yeah, I'll take
it. Because I know this is not the best part, right?
Yeah, no,
there's there are other parts.
Yes,
let's take a break. When we come back, you're at lunch on the Bush's boat.
I used to be the life of the party, and so he said, that's where I put my thermometer. But then, everything changed. I couldn't laugh, feel joy. I also couldn't maintain an erection, but that's unrelated, I guess. It was horrible until I found Lexapro Mera. Everything got good again when I subscribed to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Listening to explicit content and hilarious insights, too raunchy for the usual show, got me out of my sad hole.
Do you or a loved one suffer from chronic lack of humor in your life? Lexapro Mera may be right for you. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Lexapro Mera, and the other doctor is a f***ing liar.
Subscribing to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show has been said to cure ailments like male pattern baldness, gout, moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, and will expand your life by 40-plus years.
Subscribing to the Bonus Show is the single best thing you can do for your mental health. So do it today. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it. And I promise to never talk about my sad hole ever again.
The best of O'Mara.
Between Rob Spiewak going to concerts and you doing this, you guys are having a great summer, and I'm sitting down here in 500-degree weather just living vicariously through you guys. So we left off where you were coming into this little harbor.
Yeah.
They asked you if you like lobster rolls. You notice the people on the dock are looking at the family. This is a big, big deal. You're smart enough to know you're in a special moment here, and this had to be very cool. So what happened?
And you want to take a beat and just say, okay, let's make sure that, you know, this has been a nice, early 40 minutes into this. Like, just keep it tight.
Yep.
No missteps.
Yeah,
I don't want to feel... I don't want to sound like a rube, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal, right?
Of course it's a big deal. Of course it's a big deal. And they like you, and you honor that, and you respect that. And I think that's why you're doing so well in this situation. That's probably why you're on that boat in the first place.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. I appreciate that. So we arrive. The harbor master, who's like 100 feet up, because we're down low on the water, says, hey, we're full, and... By the full, like, but we can make room for this, like, we'll make room for the boat, right?
Okay.
Well, the captain says, no, I'll stay back and wait, but I would like to just offload the family, which is...
Right.
Classy move.
Yep.
He could have been like, nah.
So that
room.
Tells you all you need to know. Let me tell you what that tells you. I thought immediately, hey, we're the so-and-so family, we're coming in here, make way for... No, that's a sweet deal right there. That tells you that's just the way this family rolls. I'm sorry, it's a big deal, folks. I know you might not think so, but it is, because they could easily probably get their own special spot that would be blocked off if they called ahead. That's not the way. They don't want to displace anybody else. They're just dumped. I love that.
It was a little back and forth. Right, hey, there. I got a sailboat coming in, but it's okay. Like, you guys, and they're like, no. Like, we're gonna wait. We just want to offload the family and our guests.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I love the urgency of, he pulled up and he said, off, everybody off, everybody. Like, it wasn't like, hey,
take your
time.
Yeah, because another boat's coming in and he wants to honor that. This is Neil that's at the helm, probably?
Yes.
Okay. Very cool, Neil.
Wasn't that cool? Like,
yeah,
I was like,
cool.
All right. So we all get
Absolutely,
off the boat.
I get it. They didn't need to do that. Believe me.
Yeah, it was totally cool. We walk up. They go to a local restaurant that they know and they love. They arrive. Doro looks back and says, clam chowder? I'm like, sure.
Yeah, the standard. There you go.
Mike, I've never had clam chowder in my life after all these years.
Right?
I was like, yeah, lobster roll? What? I'm good.
Different chowder, isn't it? Is it better than anything you've ever tasted?
Well,
yeah. They do. Listen, there's one thing food-wise that you will not get in the rest of the country. You won't. I'm sorry. You won't. It doesn't exist. You go to Maine, they have a different view of chowder. It's not that stuff that you think. It's not the floury, thick stuff that you can stand a spoon up in. It's very, it's a soup. It's delicious. It's fantastic.
It is. And coming off a boat ride, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. We sit down, and there are a couple different tables we sit down at, and the conversation about podcasting, the world of podcasting, we start having. And we have it for the lunch, is like maybe 40 minutes to an hour, depending on time. Mm-hmm. And 20 minutes of that is talking about the world of podcasting, how they're excited to honor their father with this podcast.
What they're doing it for. You have mentioned that it's the legacy of HW,
yes,
41.
The show will be called All the Best. We are in heavy production right now as we speak. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And we will announce when we actually release here on the show, Mike.
Love to get somebody on the show to talk about it.
Please.
Love to do that.
We'll
be
done.
Be great.
Absolutely.
All right.
And then they have what any family would have. Just they had family conversations, which I will not divulge here, but I was honored to be a part of, and the level of trust that is given to have these conversations within the family.
I'm
which
glad
is
they
nice.
Allowed you to come in and talk about it, because I think it's a great story, and
yes.
It's great to hear, and I appreciate the family letting you do that. I know that's not common practice either, so to the Bush family, salute from your boy here, mm-hmm. because really, that's just terrific. I think this is so
sweet. And when we're done, everyone wants to go get ice cream, and I could tell that a part of the group of the family was like not going to get ice cream, mm-hmm. so I didn't want to be a toddler, and I said, I'll just hang back with you guys. And
right.
I will stick with this core group that's mm-hmm. close to the boat.
Did you tell them you were lactose intolerant?
No, I did not say that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I just
after
did not,
the chowder,
I,
that's it.
I did not want to make a big deal out of it. Mm-hmm. And then I started hanging out, and I tried to take in this little town that I'd never been to. It's beautiful.
You're probably in Kennebunkport. Kennebunkport, probably.
Probably. Yeah. I'll look on a map, and I'll figure that out.
okay.
But you just want to play your position.
Right.
I play my position. I take a few pictures. I was like, hey, I can take a picture of you and so-and-so and the family, take a few pictures of the people. And then they said, we're going to go to the restroom. I hang out. I was like, I'll just hang out here, wait for the family to come back. And then I'm standing there alone, just taking a few pics, taking it all in. And Neil, who, by the way, and Marvin, who just were so kind. But Neil walks down. The entire family, which is a 10 out of 10, walks down and sees me. Sees me standing alone near the dock, and he's like, oh, like they left you? I'm like, no. A couple people went to the store, and a couple people went down the restroom. I'm just going to hang out. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that. And he goes, have you had any pictures taken of – do you want any pictures for yourself? And I said, no, it's okay. Like, I don't want to put anybody out.
Right.
He goes, no. You got to come with me. There's a drawbridge, a small people drawbridge.
Right.
And he goes, if you're here, you got to take a picture. It's iconic. So he walks me up to this bridge and says – and takes a couple snapshots.
Awesome.
I didn't need that.
Cool.
Like, it was just.
Nope. That's cool.
So
that's
nice.
That's fantastic.
Right?
That's great. I love that.
Super nice. And.
You didn't throw up and you didn't fall off the boat.
No.
You didn't do anything
Get
like that.
Get back on the boat, right. Shoot back, and it is the same game. Like, perfect. Flying mm-hmm. across the water. Arrive, and then, what is it? It's low tide, so.
Right.
They're like, we got to get the dinghy. Mike, I know your world of the dinghy.
Yeah, you have to anchor the boat and bring a dinghy in, right?
Yes.
That's the way. Because you can't bring the boat up to the dock unless it's high tide.
No.
I get it. I know how that
so
works.
So the dinghy is brought over, and it was, like, it doesn't matter how powerful a family you are. It doesn't matter where, a dinghy is a dinghy. Wooden
right.
dinghy, you got to get in, get out. But we have to offload 12 people.
So it takes a while.
It takes a while. Mm-hmm. Just fun, how everybody's patient, nobody's bitching about it. Everyone's like, all right, no one's saying, like, you go first.
Mm-hmm.
We get off, get onto the water. I don't fall in the drink because a dinghy, doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, you don't want to tip it over. So
well,
I'm very
it's a
careful.
Small dinghy then.
Yeah,
it's not like a motorized.
Yes, no.
They row in?
Yeah, they row in. We row in.
Wow.
Right? We get off. I tell the team, I was like, look, I have some more equipment in the car. He goes, just drive the car up. Next time, just drive the car up to the driveway, the
right.
home's driveway. So I grab my car. I say hi to the Secret Service again as they see me walking through this path. I'm like, hey, I'm okay.
Hi, boys.
Don't mind me. I was here earlier. I'm sure I have some facial recognition that's picking me up. We're good to go. Grab the Volvo, pull up, get out, get into the home, start setting everything up. They're loving. We're talking to Rob Ford here in D.C. We have a direct connection. Everything's working out perfectly.
Now, the Secret Service is there, right? They're on campus?
Yes. So, and there are multiples. So
okay. That might mean something.
And
either somebody's coming or somebody's there, right?
Yes. And as I'm putting the wires together and this is not a big setup, but we did a lot of pre-planning to know where these cables were going to go and how much cable exactly we needed for certain setup.
Okay.
And then once the gear was cleared by the Secret Service, all of that had to be done. And through a bay window, I see the 43rd President of the United States.
W is there. See, that's what I was going to say. With the Secret Service, that means you've got a... Oh.
So...
Wow.
This is already cool, and I'm not going to push my luck, and I imagine this will happen in the future. But
so you just sort of pop up and look out the window, and you see?
I'm sitting at a table working, and I have two family members to the left and right of me.
Right.
And I just had – that was my purview. I see through the bay window. Like, I see
Like, is he walking into the building?
He's there. He's talking to somebody in the distance. I could tell.
Right.
And I get kind of the nod of like, hey, do you want to go and say hello? But Mike, we're in the middle of working. We're setting this broadcast up.
Oh my God, the struggle. You didn't say no, did you?
I said, I'm not going to say no, but I want to make sure we get this right for your broadcast. And I know you're tight on time because they had something to do. So let's make sure we get this right. If this happens today, that's amazing. If it doesn't, it'll be next time. We'll make this. And she looked at me and said, thank you. Thank you for making this. It was the right move. It was the right move to make.
Okay.
It was the right move to make. Now, would it have been awesome? Yeah. But again, Mike, you're there for a mission, right? You want to make sure the mission, like the lunch was already wonderful.
Right.
The boat ride was unexpected. You want to make sure this is done correctly.
That you're doing your thing.
Yes. Okay. We do this right. Right. You take care of your family, your Podcast Village family, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
So we do all of this, do the test. It goes great. Everyone's happy. We actually record a few liners for a couple of the shows we're working through. I should give a plug to Doro Bush's podcast. It's called Health Gig. It's about overall wellness lifestyle, wellness podcast. Again, Health Gig. You can find it on any platform that has podcasts. And it's a phenomenal show.
Okay.
And this gear will be set up for all the best and Health Gig. But what's wonderful about that entire experience is as I'm walking out, it's like you see, because this is how classy this family is. She goes, I didn't want to forget. One, I want to take a few pictures with you. So we have some pictures taken. And she gives me a hat that says 41 on there and says, we don't even make these anymore. I want to make sure that you have something. Thank you for coming up and making this a priority. I know that you have a family engagement. Wow. It was just such a nice, beautiful moment. And I just gave her a hug. I said, I'm happy I was able to take care of this family. And then now I'm going to go see my family. Thank you for making sure. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon. But also thank you for letting us be part of this project. And it literally, as I'm driving away, the entire family's on the tennis courts because they're practicing for some family tournament. But not tennis, different game. And I'm driving away and everyone's just waving. I'm driving, the Atlantic is to the right of me, the courts and the cottages are to the left of me, and just what a surreal experience.
Wow. And so you got the work done. And
the work came before
43.
Yeah.
Was 43 on the, what game were they practicing?
It's a
pickleball?
Yes. Boom.
It was pickleball.
Yes.
Yeah, pickleball, the Bushman Cole.
They have a pickleball tournament annually, and they are competitive.
That is awesome.
For the family.
Was 43.
Oh, yeah,
43 was down playing pickleball? You got a wave from 43?
Got a wave from the entire family. They're like,
you're a better man than I am. I'm going to say that. You are a better man than I am. If they said, would you like to? Yeah, all right, hey, I would have been, it would have been exciting to, it's always exciting to meet a president.
Yeah,
very, very cool.
But I just, you got to get the work done.
Yeah.
You got to get the work done.
Yeah.
And if you do good work, we've learned, Mike.
If it had been Robbie, would have said, can I stay the night? Can I stay the night and I'll make pancakes for everybody. Yeah. You get the parameters.
Yes.
You get that. That's why you're there. And you'll have other opportunities.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Did you meet Laura Bush, the wife of 43?
I did not.
Okay. All right. But you hung out with the fam and then
yes.
You were on the boat. That's spectacular. I love
and,
that.
And fast forward through the week, I get back to my brother's 50th. Right on time, suit on and all. Baptism is fantastic. Go to Cape Cod. We go to Martha's Vineyard for the day. And on the corner of somewhere in Edgartown, I see what are three SUVs that look like they're Secret Service. And I was like, oh, I wonder if President Obama's here. And for a while, they're idling. I'm not making a big deal. I've got Santos the dog. I've got a hat on. I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
Was it Obama?
It was the former first lady, looked like a family member, and the daughters came out of a restaurant.
Michelle Obama?
Yes. Jumped in the SUV.
You see Michelle Obama and 41 in the same week.
And 43, yes, yes.
43,
yes,
43.
Yes, yes.
That is so cool.
Surreal.
Really?
Surreal.
Go pitch her on a podcast. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, I'm Ina Garten. My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally. It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if you're 10 little piggies or cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey Alexa, play The Mike O'Mara Show. And the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it. And I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caperberry. Now back to my custard.
The best of O'Mara.
Rob Spiewak, I have to mention, is sending a son off to college at the end of the summer. And he's all growed up. And he's a grown-up boy now, and it's pretty amazing to hear about Robert going to college. I got to be honest with you. I've been there from the beginning.
It's surreal. I mean, you visited us at the hospital when he was born. And you know what? He was born, to put it in perspective how long ago it was, when the D.C. sniper was going on. Because I remember in Carrie's hospital room watching Mike Buchanan lose his mind every morning covering the D.C. sniper
stuff. So mad. Mike Buchanan, God rest his soul, was so, so mad about that. And a guy we used to poke a lot of fun at, but safe home, Joe Krebs, local TV legend. Personality, lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. So sorry to his family, and our thoughts are with them. But anyway, your son's growing up, and you were talking about using him.
Yes.
I have no idea what you use him for
Well,
now,
Mike, it is, as you know, springtime is upon us, and this is the time every year where Carrie thinks she's going to be Martha Stewart, and she starts changing things on our crappy deck, like it's going to magically turn into something fantastic.
Shangri-La?
Yeah. See, let's put, you know how the grill is here? Let's put it here. Oh, so much better. What about the table? Let's move it this way. How much? 6 inches. Isn't that better? Oh, this will be great for entertaining. Oh, it will. Absolutely.
I really can't understand why she hates you.
So... Also, the big thing this year is that under our crappy deck, she wants to have a swing because, you know, the deck provides sort of coverage over some, it's like a patio area, right?
Yes.
And it's almost like a hammock for one. It's a sit-in swing. And
when you let your dog out from the basement, from your basement, do you let the dog out beyond the fence line of your little area?
Oh, he's walked every day, but when he just has to pee, he goes out into the backyard area.
Is there dog evidence out there? Is the grass and area kind of dogged out a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. But, you know, it's also it's hard to tell because of the wintertime.
I guess the question I'm getting at is with making that like an area, do you even think that's a valid
idea?
Well,
actually, there's always a lot of enthusiasm every spring. That sort of dulls by the time the summertime rolls around because no one really has the enthusiasm to carry through. And I'm a creature of in of doors. I prefer air conditioning.
I don't want to. I don't want
to
look.
You don't need to preface it. Just say it.
I don't want to defend your wife, but I think it's because of the Washington D.C. climate. You get 3 weeks that you're like, oh my God, I could live outdoors.
Yeah,
and then it becomes. Yeah. A humid soup, and you're like, I never want to be outdoors.
Yeah, you get the excitement, the false excitement.
Every spring.
There's a reason I'm down here. I always kind of chuckle at that, where you're like, oh, it's 75.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's going to be a glorious summer. Mm. No, it's not.
But
you're
going to
have Florida temperatures in about an hour. Get ready for
it. 1 hour. The actual backyard area, we have rose bushes planted. We have a small Japanese maple that we put in, some hydrangeas. It's actually, when the summertime rolls around,
beautiful.
It's very nice. But she wanted to have this swing put in so she could be
hydrangeas.
In the shade and then look at it. And I looked at the installation, and I realized it's not that tough. It is a hook that has to be four huge wood screws that go on the underside of the deck.
I think it's called a papasan.
Yeah, I believe that's exactly right, Oscar.
And you're going to put them in the beam.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in the little slats.
Exactly. And so start looking at what's going to be involved.
That would wreak havoc on your feet on the upper deck.
Ow, 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 ow.
Well, you wanted a swing.
Mike, I'm going to look up the papasan that I think he – where'd you guys get it from? Do you know?
We bought it through Target.com,
okay,
through the Mike O'Mara show.
Good.
And so
I like it.
We actually got two of them. Only one has been installed as of yet. And so I started to look at the way.
Sure, you don't want to upgrade to the Sumo-san?
It ain't for me, man. Remember,
okay,
I got it for my birthday. Remember, I got an Adirondack chair.
Mm.
And
oh,
so
that's
be,
right.
I'll be mm-hmm. seated on that while mm-hmm. Carrie swings merrily in the breeze. So
I'm just doing that's my impression of your Adirondack chair.
Mike, we use very hardwood.
Okay, yeah. But you know, oh. you don't want to throw yourself right. down in it.
No, you ease yourself into it. You ease right. yourself into it. So then I started thinking about the four wood screws that have to be, you know, it's probably what, 8-9 feet in the air mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. has to be installed that way. I said, you know, this would be a great job for Robert to do because that way I don't have to get on the stepladder and do it. And because he took a semester of stagecraft in high school, he is familiar with using a drill. And I said, son, here's what you're going to do for your mom for Easter. And he's like, okay, I can do it. Will you assist with finding the tools and all that? I said, absolutely. So we get the extension cord. We get.
Do you really say, will you assist with
finding
the
tools?
Well, no, he
said, what he said is, will you be there while I do it? I said, yeah, of course. So we get the extension cord and we get the drill and we tape the bracket up so it stays still. And he marks that he drills the holes and he starts to put this bolt in. And he says, I said, son, what you really need, he comes out with a 5-inch monkey wrench, you know, an adjustable wrench. I said, that's not what you need. What you need is a ratchet. He said, mm-hmm. okay. So I went and got our ratchet set, which has been with me a long time. And, you know.
He's 18 now?
Yeah, he is 18. He'll be 19 right. in December. And right. so, no, his is September. And so we go through and I go.
You haven't burdened him with a lot of household tasks, have you?
Well, no, he does what he does. He handles the trash.
I mean, when rolling out there with the ratchet thing, I would think it would be kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're consulting. And so I get the ratchet set. And it's like any old ratchet set. It's sort of busted up the plastic inside. So all the attachments are rolled around. And they're not in order. And I realize I seem to be missing something very important. The 14-millimeter ratchet. Mm. Because 13 is too small. And 15 is too big, and
yeah,
I can't find 14. And so right. I said, son, you're going to...
And then you have another set of ratchets that's not the metric system.
Exactly.
So they're actually that. And by the way, that's how they get you. They really want to screw you.
Yes.
They burn you with that. As well. Oh, it's a metric ratchet. Oh, well, I don't need a metric ratchet.
So I find the old monkey wrench. It's probably 15 inches long, weighs about 40 pounds. It was Big Daddy's. This is an old, old wrench. I said, son, all you got to do is get up and tighten those bolts, four of them. And he says, fine. And what I proceeded to watch was an absolute display of a young man embracing frustration. And it was delicious because it wasn't me. I was just enjoying the fact.
What were the challenges of the project?
Well, pardon me. First of all,
because really the ultimate, we're talking about screwing two bolts into a beam.
Yeah, but you got to tighten the bolts.
Four.
Is what he's trying
four
to.
Bolts.
Four bolts.
And it is you know going into wood, and it was a properly chosen drill.
You're looking up.
It's over your head, and also because of the age of the monkey wrench, about every second or one and a half turn, the setting would change, and he'd have to take it off and retighten it.
Yep.
And so I watched him try everything.
Not having a ratchet is making that
If it would have been a ratchet, even I could have done it. But
Did you have any regular wrenches that might be the right size?
No, didn't have a regular. And besides,
that would have made it quicker, too.
But also because of the tightness of the bolt going into the wood, especially as you got further up, you needed that actual leverage to push on that, and he wasn't getting that part either because what he would
do,
your
knuckles and hands were in the way.
He was tightening it and using it almost like a screwdriver. He was holding it parallel,
well, that's because he's underneath it.
And I said, son, he says, Dad, I'm putting all I got into it. I said, if you were to turn it 90 degrees and push on the end. And this is why I'm
get more leverage.
But I'm also it's not beyond me that I'm explaining this while seated in an Adirondack chair, while I'm telling him how to do it.
And that is funny.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's lazy man.
I did eventually get up onto the stepladder to show him the best.
So
way.
So, is your Adirondack chair is located on the lower level?
On the lower level, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because that's where my solo stove is.
Okay. All right. So you just chill out. Do you hang out and with a solo stove in your and a beer in your Adirondack chair just alone?
I have.
Okay.
But it's nice
Where's
when
Dad?
People. It's nice when people
warm
are
outside.
If you have, actually, I mentioned this. On my birthday, Julia brought marshmallows out and kept me company out there.
That's wonderful.
It was very, very nice.
That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It was a wonderful notion knowing that Robert has the strength and wherewithal and the patience that I wouldn't have had to get this thing up and mounted. And Carrie is delighted. It's up. I didn't have to do very much with it. But sad, right, that in 4 months or so, he's going to be gone and he will not be around to do chores anymore.
Well, I haven't changed the oil in my car. Like, add to the. You ought to come up with a. You're old enough now. You're 50.
Yeah.
You're 50 now. You come up with a list of things that you don't really want to. And things that need a little bit of, elbow grease that you don't want to do or you really do need help with.
Yeah.
How are you like when you've got a project that you need assistance with and you ask Carrie? In my house, it's problematic sometimes.
No, Carrie is a good helper. One of the last times that Robert really, really disengaged with me when we were doing a project, I replaced a light fixture in the living room, which is a pretty big deal for me. Because again, this is a reach over, unscrew, remove. You have to check the wiring. You have to kill this. And because I was wearing my Birkenstocks, and we have a tall ceiling in that living room, I hooked my heel and fell from about the fourth ring of the ladder onto the floor.
You're wearing footwear that should not be used for anything other than sitting in an Adirondack chair.
Exactly.
Or going to a museum.
Or my,
Did you fail to tell us that you fell off a ladder because of your slippers?
I told you this. I told you this was some time ago. And I fell flat on my back. And Robert came over, and his first comment
to me. That's a nasty fall for a man of your size. Did it knock the wind out of you?
Knocked the wind out of the people next door.
Deep impact.
So I fell on my back, and Robert comes over, and this is three or four years ago, so he's a younger guy. And he was basically limited to make sure, flip that switch, make sure the light doesn't go on. Hand me a wire nut. Hand me a this. Hand me a that.
Yeah,
he was just helping out. His first comment when I landed on my back was he looked at me, and he looked up. He says, I think it might be crooked.
Not even concerned for your broken vertebrae at that particular time.
So I've got awesome. 4 months to work him like a horse, and that's what I'm going to do.
Get it done. Get her done. And he can always come back on break. So, I mean, that can happen, too. So that's cool. By the time my husband is my husband,
your
excuse
husband.
Me.
Your son.
My husband, my gay husband, is by the time my son is that age, it'll be time to help me into the back of the hearse. We'll take a break and we'll
use
come back
more leverage
with the audio digital thing right here. Well, we just have a couple of seconds here to discuss very, very different things going on. But I am on the first day yesterday, full day of sugar withdrawal. Over the weekend, the 60th birthday gala, I mainlined sugar. The sugar has been I've been out of control with sugar.
Was there cake?
There was a. At my sister's house, my sister made a homemade blueberry pie. My wife and daughter made one of my all-time favorites, which you probably don't know, Rob Spiewak.
Hmm.
My mom, God rest her soul, used to make pineapple upside-down cake. And that used to my fave.
That's a great cake.
So there was that.
There was pineapple upside-down cake. There was blueberry pie. There were chocolate chip cookies. It was a smorgasbord.
And, of course, the occasional ice cream orgy. And yesterday, it was cold turkey. And I feel already better. I think it's a.
Good.
I think sugar is a body bomb. I really do. I think if you overdo sugar, I think it causes inflammation. I think it makes your joints feel crappy. I really believe that.
That liquor world we live in sometimes where you've got sugar.
Well, it metabolizes so much sugar. All alcohol metabolizes to sugar.
Now, there's a little sugar. You know, I'm drinking. I was talking about the liquid IV. The sugars like this are not. They're not the kind of sugar. I'm talking about pies, cakes, desserts, that.
They're not
mainlining
complex.
Sugar. Drinking a sugary soft drink. That's not a cool thing.
The thing that always gets you, always complain about pancakes, because with pancakes comes syrup.
Pancakes.
Pixie sticks.
So, Sunday, Catherine.
Wax bottles.
Drops her sister off, Elizabeth, at the airport, stops by Tim Hortons.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hello, old friend.
Tim Hortons. Thank you. Tim Hortons donuts and brings a dozen back. And, I'm letting Carla sleep in. and I'm sitting there waiting for my daughter to get back. And then my daughter goes off to catch a nappy poo.
Did you know that the donuts were coming when she came back, or was that a surprise?
Well, when I called her to see how everything was going, she said, "Dad, I'll be home shortly. I'm waiting for Tim Hortons to open."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Oh, don't do that." So she came back with a dozen.
For me?
And I, you know, dove in.
Within
15 minutes, I was in a coma. I literally
how
was,
many did
I
you
was
have?
Functioning. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's pretty good for you.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
At that moment of the day.
That is, because no one would notice.
The first session.
You could fold the box down to like maybe a six pack. You could have killed six.
I mean, I could have killed six. Didn't kill six.
Good boy.
But immediately, I mean, I was gone. And I said, "Why am I so tired? Why am I dragging? Why am I so tired?" So I just want to say, after a day without, I look forward to getting back on track and having a reasonable. I'm more energetic during the show.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm more. The week before my birthday, is I'm eating everything that wasn't nailed down, and I'm doing. It feels good. I feel strong. I feel vital. I do not feel like an old man today.
So we postmated the Krispy Kreme donuts last Thursday
during political persuasions. Yes, arrived. You killed me. You put three in front of me, and I said I can't eat these now.
Pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. There's nothing like a donut.
What I didn't experience, and I haven't had this in some time.
What's that?
Because we don't get donuts that much.
No.
Is the warm donut.
Oh, my God.
The gentleman arrived, and Postmates, look, they've been advertising for some time. We just haven't talked about them in this fashion. This is not a paid advertisement.
Right.
He came.
But they could advertise on the Michael Marriage.
Postmates does.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. They do. They do.
Yeah. Put another one on. Put an extra on.
When the guy showed up, this is the first time I've seen this happen. Like a pizza, because I've never had donuts delivered, but like a pizza, they had a warming, an actual warming bag.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I said, "What is this?" He goes, "Oh, fresh and
so
warm."
So they delivered the Krispy Kreme warm to you?
Warm.
You don't know.
And when you eat those, they melt. They don't. Yes. They don't exactly chew. They melt.
They have a sign at the Richmond Krispy Kreme. It's on Boulevard, I believe. No, it's on Broad Street. The red sign that would go on for hot donuts, responsible for more illegal U-turns in this town of Richmond than anything I've ever seen. That sign goes on, and you're there. You got to go there. It's
so
amazing.
So I house two, and then the same thing happened. An hour later, I'm like, man. Yep. I'm so
crash and burn.
Tired.
If I'm
crash
not mistaken, we did a Krispy Kreme drive-thru during one of the Elvis shows, and I might have eaten like 10.
Yep.
It was, I mean, because they just dissolved. Yeah, they're amazing.
But the interesting thing with Rob is he actually flew after that. He flew.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.